Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. With me now, Amy Hall, the Director of Social Consciousness at Eileen Fisher, the women's clothing company based along the Hudson in Irvington in Westchester. And she has a lot to say about the complexity of conducting business with an eye to its impact on the environment and human rights. Amy Hall, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian.
So first, there is an actual person named Eileen Fisher behind this clothing line who gave you this job of figuring out how to combine fashion with environmental and social responsibility, right?
There is indeed, and we all adore her. She is a rock star.
And what's your background that made you qualified to have this lofty title of Social Consciousness Director?
Well, I don't know about qualifications so much, but I've been with the company this is my 20th year, and I was asked early on to start developing the philanthropic program of the company after 10 years in fundraising. And after that, took on the challenge of creating a human rights program in the company. And that's how it's all unfolded.
You've said that your job takes place in a gray zone, which sounds very honest, mm-hmm. about trade-offs involved in green consumer marketing. What's an example of that gray zone?
You know, I think that being a fashion company in and of itself presents kind of an obvious contradiction. How can we be sustainable as a fashion company? We are in business to make stuff. We are in business to sell clothing. And yet we recognize the environmental crisis that's facing us in terms of climate issues, water issues, natural resource issues. How can we balance that? And that is what we deal with every day.
And this interview became even more timely than it always is with the news of the collapse of the building in Bangladesh where Western clothing brands are manufactured. Eileen Fisher, not among them, right?
That's correct.
But you do manufacture in third world countries. So what do you do to ensure that workers there aren't being abused?
You know, what we do is we develop relationships with our suppliers. We don't use a lot of suppliers. Our first-tier suppliers number fewer than 20 at this moment. And most of them we've been with for a very long time. And so we really look for suppliers that share our values. And we provide training along the way. We partner with NGOs in their communities to work with the workers as well as the managers. And we look for evidence of buy-in and evidence of continuous improvement. So an example of that is work that we've done recently around human trafficking and slavery and raising awareness among our suppliers around what the red flags would be should they encounter human trafficking in their trafficked migrant workers, for example, in their supply chain.
Listeners, are you a marketer trying to be green or a consumer trying to buy green and finding gray as in gray areas? Are you faced with a trade-off in values in what you make or what you shop for? Give us a call and talk to Amy Hall, Director of Social Consciousness at Eileen Fisher, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How do you audit the manufacturing sites in other countries?
Well, we partner with third-party auditors, as do many brands. This is not anything new or unique for us. But for us, I think the value comes in the training that we give or that we partner with local organizations to provide to our suppliers. It's really about the buy-in. An auditor can go in and take a snapshot of a situation, and the next day it might change. But if we gain the buy-in, if we really win the supplier over and show them the value of doing business responsibly, treating their workers ethically, that's where the lasting change happens. And so for us, it's about the training, the interaction, the relationship building.
How do you measure buy-in, though? Does it mean that the companies that you hire to do the auditing take factory owners at their word if they seem sincere about something?
It's a great question. you know, our company is known for its values, and it's known for its rather maybe unorthodox way of conducting business. We do a lot of our business based on intuition and how we feel about the people that we're working with. However, having said that, a lot can be said when you walk into a factory and see the faces of happy workers, workers that are free to come and go at will, that will answer your questions. You know, we will ask our auditors to interview workers off-site, outside of the work situation, where they're not under the scrutiny of the managers, to really get the real story. And so we put it all together and create a picture of the situation, the real situation. So we get the word from the workers. We have the interactions with the managers. It all adds up.
Well, after a break, we're going to take some phone calls from people who are starting to call in for you. And my guest is Amy Hall, who has the lofty title of Director of Social Consciousness at the clothing designer Eileen Fisher. And I guess one of the risks you run when your brand includes a socially conscious reputation, you attract an educated consumer. And so you get letters about things like Uzbek cotton and manufacturing in China, yes?
Yes, we do all the time. Yeah.
And do you reply, or how do you deal with the questions? Or I don't know if they're sometimes framed as accusations or just curious questions. How do you deal?
We get all kinds of questions like that. We get friendly questions. We get accusatory questions. We reply to every single one of them. They are all important to us.
All right. Well, we have some Eileen Fisher wearers in our audience calling in and some other folks. So we will continue with Amy Hall from Eileen Fisher on the whole issue of running a socially conscious clothing manufacturer in the 21st century. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. The Brian Lehrer Show continues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We continue to begin this hour with Amy Hall, who is the Director of Social Consciousness at Eileen Fisher, the women's clothing company based along the Hudson in Irvington in Westchester. This is the conclusion of our Earth Month series as we revisit a topic that we've covered from time to time, sustainability and fashion. Some of you will remember we touched on this with Hazel Clark when we did a Fashion Month series in February. So we're delighted to have Amy Hall talk about how this actually works from within one leading clothing manufacturer. And Amy, when we put out the call for listeners to call in and talk to you just before the news break, our lines filled all the way up. So why don't we go right to the phones? And here is Bridget in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, I can't believe I'm calling a radio program. Thank you so much, Brian. The appropriateness of having someone from Eileen Fisher on after the time that we've all heard such a terrible story happening in Bangladesh. I discovered I'm getting along in years. I'm in mid-80s now, and I know that I shouldn't be buying clothes, and I surely don't need clothes, and I don't have the money to spend a lot. But she has the most wonderful, simple things, and I'm aided and abetted in this, a bit of an addiction to stop in and see what they have by knowing she is such a fine and elegant, wonderful provider of her employees, and then her selectivity of the people she deals with. It doesn't surprise me, even though I didn't know she has somebody dealing with social consciousness. I believe her name is the Amy woman.
Yes.
That is so wonderful, and it's what all of us hope so much we'd see more of. And to know that you're having it on today really makes me feel just bit much better, and I'll stop in the stores next time when they have a sale. It's
Bridget,
just wonderful, because we do forget everything we do matters around the world to everybody else. I thank you all so much.
Bridget, thank you very much. And I guess one piece of credit that we can't take is having invited Amy because of what happened in Bangladesh. You were going to come on anyway today, but how did you feel seeing that story and it being so close to your industry, even though, as we said earlier, there's no involvement with any Eileen Fisher there?
Yes, every time a disaster like this happens in the apparel industry, we are really torn apart by it at work. We make numerous inquiries about whether anybody we know is affiliated with the factory, whether any of our Asia partners somehow are affiliated. And thank goodness in this case that we have no connections whatsoever. But it's heartbreaking, and we really feel for the other brands that are dealing with this tragedy.
John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hey, thank you, Brian. I'm just concerned because, and I really appreciate the work that Ms. Hall and other people do, looking at for things like human trafficking, fire hazards, lighting, you know, the conditions of workers. But at some level, I don't see how the United States and purchasers here or in the West can be held accountable for things like building regulations. At some point, the providing nations have to take responsibility for these things, and it becomes easy for the governments there and for the providers there to blame it on the West somehow. When in fact, hey, you know, you guys are responsible for your own building codes, just like we are.
Well, on the other hand, if the manufacturer who is contracting over there and selling in this country is an American manufacturer, does that company not have some responsibility in your view, John?
Well, I think so. I think for conditions of the workers, but to what point? I mean, should they – obviously, if you can look at a ramshackle building and say, that's not safe, we're not going to use these people. But if you're looking at a concrete structure, are they supposed to hire structural engineers? It's not like looking at saying how many people are working in a given square foot area.
John, I hear you. Amy, do you struggle with this?
I do, and in a way, that is the reason why the kind of work that I do right now exists, because it was felt many years ago that governments all over the world were not carrying their weight, were not enforcing their own laws, which is really what it comes down to. And I really agree with you, John, on a lot of levels. However, I think what we've learned is that our responsibility doesn't stop at the walls of our own company. We really do have a responsibility to partner with others who can help us produce an ethical and responsible product all the way down to where the seed comes from.
And some people would say, well, you should produce in the United States. Why do you have to go for that lower than American minimum wage labor in the first place? Do you struggle with that at the company?
We absolutely struggle with that all the time. We actually manufacture about 20% of our clothes in the United States, and for many of our customers, that isn't enough. We are always looking to grow our domestic manufacturing supply chain. It's not easy because the talent isn't here by and large. The garment industry is shrinking, and we are looking at new and creative ways to support a resurgence of the garment industry, but we can't do it alone.
When you say the talent isn't here, people are probably thinking, what talent? If you're talking about unskilled factory workers doing piecework on pieces of clothing, how much quote-unquote talent do you need?
Well, I think it depends on what you're making. And in our case, our clothing, although, you know, to an untrained eye may look fairly simple, it requires a very high level of skill to sew well, to sew consistently. And it can take a couple of years for a factory to really kind of get up to speed with the qualifications that we need, that we demand from our factories. So the best talent that we've come across, the best skill actually resides in China.
Another example of the trade-offs of being so conscious and profit-seeking, one of the Eileen Fisher signature fabrics is washable wool, a natural fiber, no dry cleaning required. But what's the rest of the story?
Well, the thing about washable wool is, in order to wash it, to be able to wash it, the fiber has already been soaked in chlorine, and that is what allows the wool to have this easy care quality that customers look for. I think many people would know already that chlorine itself is a compound that can cause cancer and disrupt the endocrine system. And we are looking right now to for a solution to that, to create a non-chlorine, a chlorine-free washable wool. It's not easy because our customers, when they walk in the store, they want a product that performs well, that looks well, looks beautiful, that drapes beautifully. And we haven't found a solution yet that marries the performance and the washability that we're looking for.
One more call. Kant, is it, in Brooklyn? You're on WNYC. Hi.
Yeah, how are you? I'd like to know, like, if Miss Hall has a location in India where the wages being paid are not living wage sustainable, where the government is in collusion with the manufacturers, like what happened in Bangladesh. In India, things go unreported. I'd like to know if they got any manufacturing over there so that I can put a light on that. I am an Indian immigrant. I worked there in the textile industry for some years and then migrated to States.
So, yes, we do manufacture in India. We manufacture about 3% of our product in India. We happen to have some fabulous partners there. And we are, as we speak, looking at working very seriously with a particular group of home workers that create scarves for us, whose wages we know to be low and whose living conditions we know to be very challenging. And we are very, very concerned about this. And we are working to identify NGOs in India with whom we can work together to elevate the livelihoods, the living conditions of these particular workers. So we're very, very interested in all of our manufacturing in India and how we can work to as sort of a catalyst for change from within.
And just to go back to what you said about China, were you saying that you can find the talent and the general environment for producing quality Eileen Fisher clothes in a better way, not just a cheaper way, than you can find it here in the United States?
I know it seems ironic, and it's something that a lot of people struggle with and don't necessarily want to hear about, but the skill level in China is quite high. The price is quite competitive with even the U.S. here. We don't go to China for price. If we were concerned about that, there would be many other places that we would be manufacturing. So we've been very, very happy with the product that comes out of China.
I'll throw in one other thing, because all this month we've been focused on New York City's recycling efforts, as we did Earth Month conversations. And you have an offer for customers who might be ready to dispose of some of their Eileen Fisher clothing?
Yes, we do. It's so exciting. They're just beginning this month. Any Eileen Fisher store will accept previously worn Eileen Fisher clothing in return for a $5 credit per piece. All of the clothing is examined, cleaned, repaired, and resold at either a Green Eileen store. Those are two dedicated stores that only sell previously owned Eileen Fisher clothing, one in Yonkers and a brand new one in Seattle, in the Columbia City section of Seattle. And all the proceeds of the sales of those clothes go to the Eileen Fisher Community Foundation, which supports women's and girls' programs. They're also sold at some of our company stores and our lab store in Irvington.
Amy Hall is the Director of Social Consciousness at Eileen Fisher. Thank you so much for coming down the river and talking about this transparently with us.
Thank you very much, Brian. I enjoyed it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Harper's writer Sally Tisdale on the mysterious world of headaches. Stay with us.